Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Mem Dalid Amud Aleph of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We're holding out the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The previous Mishnah told us that Kalim that have a Tzura, an image of the moon, the sun, or a dragon, you should throw them into the Yam HaMelech. So our Mishnah quotes a different opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you find these different Tzuros on these Kalim, Shochek, grind up the whole Kli, Vizorah L'Ruach, and then throw it into the wind, O Matel Yam, or throw it into the ocean, and that way no one will ever get Hana from it. Amar Lo, Chacham said, Af Hu Na'asa Zevel. What do you mean no one will get Hana from it? It will become fertilizer in someone's field when you throw it into the wind. She'ne'emar, because the Pasuk says, L'yibrach V'yakumu Uma Menacherim, and that should be a problem, because you're not allowed to get any Hana from Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara explains the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Tanya, Amar Lehem Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said back to the Chachamim, V'lo Kvar Ne'emar V'eschatas We learn that Moshe Rabbeinu burnt up the egel, crushed it up till it became this fine powder, and then he threw it, and he wasn't worried that maybe it was going to become fertilizer for somebody and that someone will get hana from it. So don't you see that you don't have to have any such concerns? Amulah Chama said back, Misham Raya, bring a Raya from what Moshe Rabbeinu did with the egel. Harehu Omer, it says, Vayizar al pnei hamayim vayashkes bnei Yisrael, that after the ashes were spread out over the water, he wasn't worried about it becoming that it spread out over the whole water, and that's why he wasn't worried about it becoming manure. And the reason he didn't throw it into the water whole and he crushed it up before he threw it into the water is lo niskavin el lebotkan kasotos, that he wanted the Jewish people to drink from this water, and then he thought the water would have the magical powers of determining who's guilty and who's innocent, just like the sota waters. Amalem Rabbi Yossi v'alok far nemar. So Rabbi Yossi brings another raya that he's correct. He says, you know, it says by the king Asa, who got rid of all of the avodah zarah that his forefathers made. It says v'gam ma'acha eim Asa hamelech hesira migvira. He removed her from her position. Asher Asa la sherem afletzes, because she made this kind of avodah zarah. V'yodak v'yisuf menachal kidron. He ground up his avodah zarah, this avodah zarah, and he threw the dust into Emek Kidron. And apparently he wasn't worried about it becoming manure for someone's field. Amru lo, Misham Raya, Nachal Kidron, Enu Megadol Tzmachin. Now you can't bring a Raya from there. Nachal Kidron happens to be unable to grow any vegetation. So that's why he wasn't worried about it. Says more of a lo, what is Nachal Kidron unable to grow things? Vatanya, but don't we have a Braisa? Elu va'elu, Misarvin ba'ama v'yotzen Nachal Kidron v'nim karlim v'gadon l'zavul umolim behen, that the blood of the karbanos that were thrown on the karnos ha'mizbeach ha'chitzon and the blood of the chatos ha'pnimio, which were thrown on the Mizbeach Hazav, that was spilled out into the Yisod of Mizbeach HaChitzon, mixed up together in the Amma, in the waterway that would sort of exit the Azara, the drainage system of the Azara, and it would go out to this place called Nachal Kidron, the very place that we're talking about, and it was sold over there to the people who tended gardens so that they could have it as manure for their fields, Umal and Behem, and it's a violation of Nisr Me'ilah if you benefit from this without buying it for money. That's why it had to be sold. So you see that Nachal Kidron apparently does grow vegetation. They would buy the blood for manure. It says Gemara Makamas Yeshbo. There are different parts of Nachal Kidron. Yesh Makam Gadol Tzmachim. Yesh Makam Shem Gadol Tzmachim. Parts of it can actually grow vegetation. Other parts of it cannot grow vegetation. So once we mention the mother of Asa HaMelech and the kind of avodah zarah that she had, so Gemara says Mai Meflatzta. What does it mean? Meflatzta. Described a mafletzes that she had. Amar of Yuda dava mafli letzenusa. It's a combination of two words of mafli, of pella, that something's unbelievable, and letzanus, mockery, that she made something. She used to do something that was an unbelievable mockery. Kedetani Rav Yosef kimin zachrus asala vaysa nivelas lo b'chol yom. She shaped an asherah tree like a male organ, and she had bia with it every single day. So it was an unbelievable late sonus that she would do. Amalan Rabbi Yossi, going back to the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yossi brings a third raya to his shita. V'alok v'arnemar, it says by Chizkiyahu HaMelech that he destroyed the Avodah Zarah that existed v'chitas nechash nechoshes asher asa Moshe. He crushed up the copper snake that had turned into an Avodah Zarah, the one that existed from Moshe's time, and he got rid of it. So probably what did he do after he crushed it up? He must have thrown it into the wind. So we see that you're allowed to throw it into the wind. Amar lo, once again, the Chachamim say, Misham Raya, you think that's a raya? You know what it says afterwards? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, asei lecha saraf. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, lecha, make for yourself, mishelecha, meaning it was made out of Moshe Rabbeinu's own money. So no one had the right to turn it into an avodah zarah. Meaning, if I walk out into my driveway one morning and I find my next door neighbor bowing down to my car, I can have the nicest Toyota Corolla in the world, but he can't turn my car into an avodah zarah, make it asur ba'anah for me. Ve'ena d'mosa davar sheino shelo. A person can't make someone else's stuff asur. So if this belonged to Moshe Rabbeinu, all the people in the world could worship it. Moshe Rabbeinu is the owner of it. You can't make it asur. And really, it wasn't even necessary for the Chizkiyahu to crush it up in the first place. But he saw that the Jewish people were making the mistake of bringing Ketores to it, so that's why he took it upon himself to crush it. But that's why he was allowed to throw it into the air, even though it might become fertilizer, because he wasn't so concerned. It's not really technically an Isser anyway. Now Rabbi Yossi brings a fourth raya to Ashita. It says by David's war with the Plishtim, when David was winning, the Plishtim, when they ran away, left behind their Avodah Zarahs, and David and his men crushed them up and threw them into the wind in every direction. So apparently David and his men weren't worried about it being used as manure. So who says that he threw it into the wind, that he threw it to scatter? So the Targum on the Pasuk in fact says almost explicitly that it was scattered about. You can bring me a raya from David and his men, but the Pasuk says about the same episode in Divrei Hayamim, it says that they burnt it, and from the fact that it doesn't say in Sefer Shmuel it only says v'yisaim, it doesn't say v'yisraim. So we see Ve'yisa'im means that they took it to get Hana from it. But nevertheless, there's a stira between the two Pesukim. In Sefer Shmuel it says that they got Hana from what the Plishtim left behind. In Sefer Divrei Yamim it says that they had to burn it because they were not allowed to get Hana from it. So it says Marka de Rav Huna. No, we could answer like Rav Huna said. De Rav Huna Rami, Rav Huna asked the following stira. One place it says that he burnt it. The other place it just says V'yisa'im. Lo kasha. Kan kodem sheba iti hagiti. Kan neachar sheba iti hagiti. When David said to burn the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim, that was before iti hagiti, who was an Ovid Chachamim and could have been mevatel, the Avodah Zarah came along. When he said, you don't have to burn it, that was after iti hagiti came, because iti hagiti was a goy. So he had the ability to actually be mevatel, the Avodah Zarah. So it was unnecessary to burn it anymore. And the Gemara brings a raya that iti hagiti was mevatel, the Avodah Zarah for David, because the pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, "Ve'yikach hasateres malchum al rosho mishkala kikar zahav." So David put it on his head, even though it weighed so much. Umishari, but how is it mutter to do that? Yisuri ananin, who isn't it? Yisuri anah. I'm Rav Nachman. Itaygiti ba ubitla. Itaygiti was mevatel the shem avodah zarah from it. Mishkala kikar zahav. It weighed kikar zahav. How was David able to put it on his head? It meant that it fit David's head, but of course with its weight it would have crushed David's skull. There's no way he could have put it on his head, but it fit his head. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Evin Shou Eves Hoysaba Davis Darala, an unbelievable system they had worked out. It had a magnet on it, and they would hang a magnet above the crown, so the crown was sort of like hovering in midair, and David would sort of place his head right underneath it. Rabbi Lazar Amar, Evin Yikara Haisabasha Shava Kikar Zav. Rabbi Lazar says, no, it didn't actually weigh a Kikar Zav, it just had a precious gem that was worth a Kikar Zav. So the Gemara Darshan's Pasuk in Sefer Tehillim that talks about the crown that David HaMelech wore. But actually, even before we get to that, let's make a couple of main points over here. So first main point is that Rabbi Yossi holds that you're allowed to grind up an Avodah Zarah, throw it into the wind, and you don't have to worry that it's going to become manure that people are going to get hana'a from, that it's going to become fertilizer that people are going to get hana'a from. The Chum say, no, you got to throw it into the ocean because you do have to worry about it, and they reject each of Rabbi Yossi's four rayas. And then we had a couple of explanations of how David was able to wear a crown that's described as being a kikar zahav. Either it fit him, but he didn't wear it, or it hovered above his head with a magnet, or it didn't actually weigh a kikar zav, it just had a gem in it that was the value of a kikar zav. So now we continue with a little bit more about the crown of David. Zos haiseli ki pikudecha not sarti. So says Gemara, Maika Amar, what's this pasuk in Tehillim? What's David talking about? Hachi Kamar, bischar she pikudecha not sarti, zos haiseli le'edus. Because I observed God's laws, that's why I have this crown as testimony that I deserve to be king. My edusa, in what way is it testimony? He would put the crown in the spot of his tefillin on his head, and it would fit his head perfectly. So Gemara says, how did David put a crown in his makom tefillin? How could you put a crown where your tefillin need to go? Don't you need your tefillin to know where your tefillin need to go? There's enough space on the head to put two pairs of tefillin simultaneously. Now, some people who wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam tefillin wear them both at the same time, because there's actually enough space on the head to put two pairs of tefillin. Pasuk describes, Gemara brings other pasukim about the testimony that this crown was. Yoash was given the crown and the edus. So Nezer Zuklila. Nezer is reference to the crown. Edus, Amrav Yuda Amrav, Edus Ulu Beis David. It's an Edus to the house of David. Shekala Roy Lamalchus Alamto, Vikal Shein Roy Lamalchus Ein Alamto. It was an amazing thing that this crown had, that it was shaped in such a way that only people who were Roy to be king, who were Roy Lamalchus, would the crown fit. If you were not Roy to be king, the crown wouldn't fit such a person. It would never fit on the person's head. Adonio Ben Chagis Misnasi Lemar Aniyamloch. Adonio said, I'm going to be the king. Amrav Yuda Amrav, he tried to get it to fit, and it wouldn't fit because he was not ready to be the king. And they made for him horses and chariots and 50 men to run in front of him. What was special about 50 men? 50 men is not like such a big deal. I mean, there are a lot of kings and even lesser that people than kings that have an entourage of 50 people. So Tana Kulam Netule Tchol. No, these were highly unusual runners. They were missing their spleens because their spleens apparently would slow them down. And they also ruined the bottom of their feet to destroy all the nerve endings at the bottom of their feet so that they're able to run on top of thorns and splinters and glass and whatever, and they wouldn't be slowed down whatsoever. So let's make a last main point over here. A couple of more things about the edus of the crown, that it testifies, it goes in the makom tefillin to testify that one is that the king has fulfilled the mitzvos, and also it only fits people who are from the Malchus Beis David. Okay, Beis Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Daf Mem Dalid Amud Beis.